from the chamber. Sergeant of Arms will close the doors. Members and visitors will please silence all cellular phones. A prayer today will be offered by Representative Burt Jones. Members and gallery, please stand and remain standing.
Let us pray. Our Father and our God, as elected leaders and representatives of this state, we humbly acknowledge that you are indeed Almighty Sovereign Ruler of God, the nations. We also acknowledge our dependence upon you for the continuance of your blessings that provide for our liberties and our preservation. We thank you for the wisdom and the testimony of these words that begin the Constitution of our state. We pray that we would always be mindful of and act consistently with these truths as we would seek to govern as good stewards of your provision. We pray for wisdom and discernment, that we would seek first to honor you as we face difficult issues and make laws. We pray for righteousness, as your word reminds us that righteousness exalts a nation. Please help us to trust in the Lord with all our hearts, and lean not to our own understandings. But in all our ways we would acknowledge you, and you would direct our paths. Give us divine help, that we might be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Help us to speak the truth, but also to speak the truth in love. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ offers forgiveness to us according to your word. With each one here praying in their own way, I offer my prayer in the worthy name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Representative Jones. Representative LaRocha is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for Wednesday, May 30th, has been examined and found to be correct. I move for its adoption.
Representative LaRocha moves that the journal for May 30th be approved as written. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed will say no. The ayes have it, and the journal is approved as written. Members, on the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Concordia Christian Day School from Catawba County, Conover, North Carolina. Please rise and let us recognize you. Welcome to the North Carolina House of Representatives. Petitions, memorials, or papers addressed to the General Assembly of the House. Ratification of bills or resolutions.
The rolling clerk reports following bill duly ratified for presentation to the governor. House Bill 340, an act authorizing the Utilities Commission to obtain criminal record checks of applicants for current holders of the certificate to transport household goods.
Chapter bills will be noted. Upon motion of Representative Stone and Lee, strike that. Upon motion of Representative Stone and Bowles from Lee and Moore County, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the galleries to the Bowles Aftercare Group. Please rise and welcome to the North Carolina House. Reports of standing committees and permanent subcommittees. House Bill 943, Representative Brown, Government.
Representative Brown and chairs the Committee on Government, House Bill 943, a bill to be entitled an act to require approval of the Board of Commissioners, Davidson County, for it is not primarily located within Davidson County, may it annex in a territory within Davidson County, favorable report and recommendation bill be referred to Committee on Finance.
Bill will be referred to Committee on Finance.
House Bill 945, a bill to be entitled an act to annex the City of Marion and section right-of-way of U.S. Highway 7 West, where sidewalks will be maintained by the city to be constructed. They report and recommendation bill be referred to Committee on Finance.
Committee on Finance.
House Bill 963, a bill to be entitled an act removing certain described property from the corporate limits of the town of Columbia. They report and recommendation bill be referred to Committee on Finance.
Committee on Finance.
A bill has been passed in act to allow the County of Rockingham to use design build delivery methods. With favor report and recommendations, bill be referred to Committee on Finance.
Committee on Finance.
House Bill 1029, a bill has been passed in act to remove the requirement that town manager, Mayor Dan, may be a resident of that town. Favor report.
Calendar.
House 1032, a bill to entitled an act removing certain described non-contiguous property from the corporate limits of the town of Morganton. Favor report and recommendation bill be referred to Committee on Finance.
Referred to Committee on Finance. House Bill 1063.
Representative Holloway Langdon chairs the Committee on Education. House Bill 1063, a bill to entitled an act to give the Johnson County Board of Education additional flexibility with regard to instructional time loss at McKee's Crossroads Elementary School. Favorable report.
Calendar. Message from the Senate.
Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 517, a bill to entitled an act to provide for the appointment of chief magistrates, to provide for additional discipline of magistrates, to provide for the study on the method of appointing magistrates, and to provide for certain control of calendaring in Superior Court by senior resident Superior Court judge.
Judiciary Subcommittee B. Pecan. You gonna keep rolling? Okay. Representative Moore is recognized.
For a motion pertaining to today's calendar, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman has the floor.
Mr. Speaker,
House will come to order.
Mr. Speaker, House Bill 1063, the short title is Excuse Day for Johnston County Schools, was reported out of committee just a bit ago. It being a time-sensitive measure, I move that the bill be added to today's calendar for immediate consideration.
Without objection.
And Representative Langton sponsor the bill at the appropriate time.
So ordered. Do it now.
Go in order.
House Bill 1063, the clerk will read.
House Bill 1063, a bill to entitled an act to give the Johnson County Board of Education additional flexibility with regard to instructional time lost at McGee's Crossroads Elementary School, General Assembly of North Carolina, next.
Gentleman from Johnson, Representative Langdon, has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. McGee's Elementary School lost a day of school and did not have a way to make it up because it was so close to the end of the year. That happened as a car accident hit the water line and busted. So they were out for one day, and we would appreciate support to forgive them of that one day. They did have the number of hours they're supposed to have, so this will work for them.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 1063 on its second reading. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed will say no. The ayes have it. House Bill 1063 has passed its second reading.
General Assembly of North Carolina, next.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 1063 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed will say no. The ayes have it. House Bill 1063, having passed its third reading, will be sent to the Senate by special message. Members, we're happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Pilot Elementary School from Guilford County, Greensboro, North Carolina. If you're in the gallery, please stand and welcome to North Carolina House. House Bill
142. The clerk will read.
Committee substitute for House Bill 142, a bill to be entitled an act to promote economic development and to provide fiscal relief to citizens of the state by temporarily capping the gas tax, delaying the imposition of tolls on ferry routes, exempting certain motions from civil motion filing fee, waiving the filing fee otherwise due from the unemployed individuals organizing limited liability companies, clarifying and extending the appropriate filing period for an economic incentive, expanding the use of industrial development funds for certain projects, and making technical correction to the port enhancement zone. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Representative Howard from Davie is recognized to explain the bill or send forth amendments.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the House. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to send forth an amendment. 79V3.
Clerk will read.
This is Amendment ARB 79V3. Representative Howard moves to amend the bill on page 2, lines 32 and 33. By rewriting the lines to read.
Members have copies of the amendment. Lady has the floor. Explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Under Section 3 of the bill, which is the section to waive the filing fee for filing articles of incorporation with the Secretary of State's office and for an unemployed individual, the Secretary of State ask that this clarifying language be added to the bill, and that's simply what it is, clarifying language, and I would ask for your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of the amendment A1 offered by Representative Howard for House Committee Substitute on House Bill 142. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 116 having voted in favor, none against.
Thank you.
Representative Howard recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And again, I'd like to send forth an amendment, ARB 80V2.
Clerk will read.
This is amendment ARB-80V2. Representative Howard moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 10. By deleting the word and.
Lady has the floor to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members of the House. Many of you have heard from your local municipalities or perhaps your county today, and it is regarding a whole harmless provision that is scheduled to end. The last payment will be August of 2012. And I can give you some brief history of this provision, but it started about 2002, I believe, and that's when the legislature allowed the counties to enact an additional sales tax, and it was scheduled for 10 years, and we agreed. It was a half-cent local option sales tax for the counties and the cities. Because we did not give the cities and the counties the amount of money that we had agreed to do, because there was a budget shortfall, and many of you were here during that time. We also agreed that we would hold those cities and counties harmless for any loss of funds, which we have done up through the 10-year period. With the economy being as it is right now, the cities and counties are asking that we consider a 3-year extension to continue to hold them harmless. It has no effect whatsoever on this year's budget. And, of course, this will we will be able to do this if funds are available. It is our intent to hold the cities and counties harmless for 3 more years. And I would certainly ask for your support.
For what purpose is the lady from Wake, Representative Weiss, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Does Representative Howard yield?
Yes, she I yield, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker. My question, Chairman Howard, is when we looked at this bill in committee, we had a fiscal note that showed the impact of all of the proposed changes in the out years, and I was wondering what this provision would cost in the out years.
Representative Rice, I'm not sure that we looked at this bill, this provision, in committee. It is the by amendment that we're hearing it. It was not part of the original package of 142 until today. I can tell you what the cost has been in 2012 is $17.5 million, and that's for the entire state, all the cities, all the counties. $17.5 million.
Further discussion, further debate. What purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Glazier, rise?
To ask Representative Howard a quick question.
Does Representative Howard yield? She yields.
Thank you, Representative, and I agree with the amendment. I'm just curious, did the $17.5 million that's in here, is that accounted for in the package we did on the floor yesterday?
No, sir. It is not, because it has no effect on this year's budget. It's in the future.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
What purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Brandon, rise?
Speak on the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor to speak on Amendment A2.
I want to thank Representative Howard for bringing up this amendment. I did get a call from my mayor and others in High Point, and it is very important because we stand to lose $1 million, and so I urge you to support the amendment and the bill. Thank you.
Representative Collins, do you want to comment on the amendment? You have your okay. Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of Amendment A2 offered by Representative Howard on House Bill 142. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 114 having voted in favor, 1 against. The amendment passes. For what purpose is the gentleman from Nash, Representative Collins, rise?
To offer an amendment?
The members, the clerk will read.
This is Amendment ALB-167, parens V3. Representative Collins moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 10, by deleting and on page 1, lines 11, by.
The members have copies of the amendment. Representative Collins is recognized to explain his amendment.
Well, if you live anywhere on the half of the state where I live, you are aware of what's been going on recently with the DOT. Trying to get federal funds as well as some state funds to widen and do a lot of things with Interstate 95. This, as you know, the DOT or any other group in our state had no authority to do anything about tolling existing roads until some legislation was passed in 2003 enabling them to do that. This bill would simply, they've done some studies on this, which I'll refer to in just a minute. All this amendment would do is not allow them to start the tolling process without coming to get our permission first. This is an issue, frankly, which has galvanized groups where I live like no other issue I've ever seen. The government groups, the business groups, everybody is up in arms about this, even considering this tolling. I have resolutions that I've received from the Rocky Mountain City Council, the Nash County Commissioners, Nash County Travel and Tourism, Gateway Partnership, that's just locally, as well as the North Carolina Retail Merchants Association, and I'm sure other people in other parts of I-95 that would be affected can speak towards this as well as how the folks in their area feel. There's several reasons why I think this is a bad idea for us to just go ahead and let DOT do this tolling process without coming back to us. Number one is the fact that I drive I-95 quite a bit. I drive the northern quarter of it from Rocky Mount to Roanoke Rapids probably almost weekly. I drive another hour south down to Benson where 40 breaks off probably 15 times a year and probably at least half a dozen times a year drive the entire length of I-95. And I can tell you this, No matter when you're on I-95, it is never nearly as congested as I-40 if you drive through the same part of the state. And they have the same number of lanes. So if we need to widen something, I-95 is not the one. I had to drive down to Wilmington last Monday on Memorial Day, unfortunately, and transact business with a client. It was the only day I had this week, as you all well know. And I drove an hour down I-95, then an hour and 15 minutes down 40. Coming back, I left Wilmington about 11:30 in the morning on Memorial Day, so you can kind of imagine what that was like. First hour and 15 minutes was as close to bumper as you can get doing 75 miles an hour. When I got to I-95, which I thought would be worse because the people were traveling longer distances on I-95, it was a little later in the afternoon, the traffic was cut in half. So I just don't see the rush for having to add lanes to Interstate 95. It's the least congested interstate I drive in North Carolina, and I drive quite a bit. But the other part is that it would have some bad consequences, obviously, to our area. We've got several large retail distribution centers that have been built along I-95. None of these will consider expanding. Probably some of them will consider moving if we pass this toll. We feel like we will further disadvantage our state ports, which already are at a disadvantage with the widening of the Panama Canal, if you've been keeping up with that. Charleston and Savannah are probably primed to at least advertise to take some of our business. If we toll I-95 in North Carolina, they'll take more of it than they currently are poised to take. Also, we don't know whether this solution will provide the funding we need long term. We just don't know. We know around Chesapeake Bay they've had to constantly raise the tolls higher and higher in order to take care of the needs that they have there. And the final thing I would say is folks in eastern North Carolina feel like we've been kicked around enough. Yesterday, we heard that we were to, in the Rocky Mountain area, we were to lose the facility that's going to be closed by the it's not the Department of Corrections anymore, but whatever that department's called, Public Safety, I guess. We already have the highest unemployment in the state in my area of all municipalities. And why, even if you were going to widen I-95, why are people have to pay for it themselves out of their own pocket when, I've been driving since a teenager. I can't tell you how many times I-40 has been widened from Wake County westward and I-85. They've been working on that intersection between 70 and I-85 since I was a student in Carolina back in the 1970s. And I think they finally quit working on it a few years ago. And none of those people that drive that road were ever asked to pay for it by tolls out of their own pocket. So you can see why the people in eastern North Carolina would feel kind of picked on when, we're going to be the only ones in the state asked to pay for an interstate which has been there for 40 or more years. So for all these reasons, the toll in itself, I think, is just a bad idea. We're not saying it can't continue to be studied. We're not saying the DOT can't continue to do whatever they're doing studying this, but we're saying that we don't want them to toll it until they come back to us and ask permission. Let me just give you one more thing. This is a statistic from the DOT study itself, because I've been to several of their public hearings. The DOT estimates that 30% of the people coming to North Carolina will bypass Interstate 95 and take alternate routes if we pass this toll. Now, that's scary to me because I don't know about the alternative roads everywhere else, but in northeastern North Carolina, there's only two alternatives, two parallel roads to I-95. One is US 301, and nobody will use that more than once because there's 30 stoplights from Rocky Mountain to Wilson in a 15-mile stretch. The other one, unfortunately, is North Carolina 48, a nice two-lane secondary road which people will think, I can get on this and buzz 70 miles an hour. The only problem is that road, which now only carries about 1,600 cars a day, will go up tenfold. That's a road where tractors and combines run up and down. It's a farm road. Kids are used to running across the street to grandma's because the only people driving on it are their dads on the tractors or their neighbors. And I hate to feel like what the horrendous consequences are going to be if that road winds up having what the DOT says will be a tenfold, not a 10%, a tenfold increase. And the speeds those people will be trying to drive on that secondary road to get through our part of the state. So I would ask you to support this. I don't know anybody who opposes it. Nobody has, nobody in our part of the state at least, and I'll leave it up to other members along the I-95 corridor if they want to comment on this or not. But I would appreciate your support of this amendment.
House will come to order. We've already had several complaints about people not being able to hear, so let's be respectful of the members who have the floor. For what purpose, the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Killian, rise.
To speak on the amendment, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Fellow members, I would ask you to oppose this amendment, and the reason is this. The effect of this amendment is to take us out of the running for a federal program that gives us an option that we need to address a major problem in our state. We all know the infrastructure and the needs that we have within our state. This project itself is a $4 billion project. Were we to eliminate this option and be forced to use funds from all the rest of the state, it would affect programs and projects across the state. And I simply would ask you why you would want to delay projects within your state in order to allow non-residents to drive through the state without having to pay a toll. I myself have a hard time with it because I do have opposition to the thought of tolling, and I do like, in one respect, the way Representative Collins has addressed it with respect to coming back to the General Assembly. You may recall that idea in the past. But at the same time, the net effect of this today is that it would eliminate us from the running for this federal program. And while it might be a good idea at some point in the future, for us to do it now would simply eliminate this option, and I think it's the wrong thing to do for the citizens of our state and all of those who you represent. So therefore, I would ask you to oppose the amendment.
What purpose, gentleman from Wake, Representative Martin, rise?
To debate the bill.
The amendment or the bill?
The amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've been following the running transportation debate between my gallant colleague from Mecklenburg, Representative Killian, you know that there is very little that he and I agree on in the realm of transportation. And the fact that I rise to support him in this should scare everybody in this room. Representative Killian is the current co-chair of House Transportation Appropriations Subcommittee. He deposed me from that job when the Republicans took control. And since that time, we've continued to fight tooth and nail on just about everything. But he and I both agree that we have a serious problem with discovering how exactly we're going to fund our roads in North Carolina. After careful consideration, tolling of I-95 is one way that we have found to try to move forward with building roads in this state. As Representative Collins has pointed out, it ain't the perfect way to do it, but it is the way that after a lot of deliberation, we have decided to move forward. So I object to this amendment for two reasons. One, it's not the direction we need to go. We need to proceed with the tolling of I-95. And two, even though Representative Collins has raised some good points, an amendment to a bill that's on the House floor is really not the best way to deal with such a complicated issue. The best way to deal with it is to have it go through carefully a Transportation Policy Committee, perhaps even Transportation Appropriations, make sure all the inputs are heard. So once again, I'm at the rare moment of having to agree with my colleague from Mecklenburg, Representative Killian, and urge you to vote against the amendment.
What purpose, gentleman from Nash, Representative Collins, rise?
The reason I offered this as a floor amendment is so we could get full debate on it if we wanted to. I know there is a bill that has pretty much identical language to this, which I'm a primary sponsor of, and I know Representative Ray is a primary sponsor of, and we've got a couple of others in the House. It's very much a bipartisan issue, so the only reason I did it this way instead of introducing it in committee is so it would get aired out on the floor. So if it's going to cause a bunch of consternation, I guess we could withdraw the amendment and just go with the other bill and run it through committees. I'm willing to do whatever the pleasure of the body is. I don't want to cause an issue here. We've got this drawn up in a separate bill. If everybody likes that better.
Does the gentleman wish to take action on his amendment?
I guess I would say if the amendment is going to be ruled non-germane to the bill, I will withdraw the amendment.
The the chair has been advised that the amendment may actually be not germane to the bill, and for that purpose, Representative Collins, I think it probably would be well taken that we do take the matter up, which the chair has sympathy for, but in a separate vehicle. Does the gentleman wish to withdraw his amendment?
I will withdraw the amendment.
Representative Howard, please state your purpose.
To explain the bill, if we're on the bill now.
The lady is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Actually, this bill was heard in House Finance on Tuesday, I believe, and as the title indicates, House Bill 142 is a composite of a lot of different pieces and a lot of different issues that we needed to put all together and just move one bill forward. Basically, there's 8 sections to the bill, and Section 1 is the one-year cap of 37.5% on the gas tax, and the current rate is 38.9%. Section 2 is the one-year delay of new and increased ferry tolls. Section 3 is the exemption from the $20 filing fee, motion to withdraw as attorney, and motions to withdraw condonator deposit in a condemnation proceeding, waiving filing fees for articles of incorporation as an unemployed individual, clarify and extend time to apply for sales tax refunds of aviation fuel, and the Industrial Development Fund changes related to sewer infrastructure projects only, and the Port Enhancement Zone Technical Correction. And then earlier today, we also added the Hold Harmless provision for the cities and the counties. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I'll try to answer any questions.
Representative Lukey, please state your purpose.
Speed on the bill is
amended. Gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, we did have this bill in House Finance yesterday, and let's say, first of all, that the Section 2 on fuel toll collection is an important part. As we know, Eastern North Carolina, there are many people in Eastern North Carolina who rely on the ferries to get to work, and the issue has been raised about the impact for them and on their jobs, and it's good that we have that in this bill. Secondly, some of us in the committee yesterday asked for the fiscal impact of capping the gasoline tax, and actually it was first told us it would be $80 million, and then we were given an update, actually the figure of $61 million that Speaker Brubaker and I agreed on yesterday in the debate. So the impact is just $61 million. There are some projects obviously affected by that. When we compare that to the overall good of meeting the concerns of the state, of the state's citizens about the price of gas, I would urge you to support this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of the House Committee substitute for House Bill 142 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 117 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. The House Committee substitute for House Bill 142 has passed its second reading and without objection. Oh. House meeting. Ladies and gentlemen, Chair stands corrected. We cannot take third reading today because the change in the title, it will be carried over for next week. House Bill 942, the clerk will read.
Committee substitute for House Bill 942, a bill to be entitled an act to clarify the identification and electronic record keeping requirements of pseudoephedrine products as recommended by the House Select Committee on Methamphetamine Abuse. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Representative Horn, please state your purpose.
Make the bill. Explain the bill.
Gentlemen, recognize to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill is a result of work by the House Select Committee on Methamphetamine Abuse. It is number 2 of 2, clarifying some language that has been in place, removes duplication of signage, supported unanimously by the House Select Committee, and passed out of committee unanimously. I encourage your support.
Representative Bradley, please state your purpose.
To debate the bill.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Here we are again talking about the pseudoephedrine bill. I remember when we discussed this bill last year, we were told that that bill would reduce the manufacture of crystal methamphetamines. It didn't. It went up. We were told that that bill would not make it more difficult to for uninsured patients to access asthma medicine. And it did. There are right now asthma sufferers out there that have has been much more difficult to access asthma medicine. And I've been contacted by...
Representative Horn, please state your purpose.
Will the gentleman yield for a question?
Does the gentleman yield?
I will.
He yields.
Representative Bradley, are you aware that this bill really deals only with the signage on display and whether or not it has to be in the on the electronic pad? It simply clarifies that we don't need two signs. That's all this bill does.
So, gentlemen, I believe the gentleman has stated a question. The gentleman should focus on that and respond.
I am aware of that. I am also aware of the fact that this bill increases the requirements for photo identification to a valid, unexpired, government-issued photo identification and to provide in print and orally a current valid personal residential address. The people who are uninsured are the people most likely to not have a valid photo ID. Because people who are uninsured are the poorest people in the country. That's why they're uninsured. And the reality is I've been contacted by people who are uninsured who have had a much more difficult time getting asthma medicine. I've grown up with asthma since I was a child. I almost died several times. I'm having issues with it right now. I just don't believe that it is a wise decision to make it more difficult for asthma sufferers who are uninsured to get the only medicine that they can get without a prescription that will allow them to breathe. Therefore, I oppose this bill. Thank you.
Representative Brandon, please state your purpose.
To debate the bill.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
I just really didn't look at this bill, but Representative Bradley does bring up some questions that happens to me as a person that does take medicine for ADHD. And I have to be required to get an ID, and I went the other day, and I didn't have an ID, but it was really, really confused me that anybody, it didn't just have to be me, anybody could have had an ID and got my medicine for me. So I'm not really sure if this, the purpose of the bill does anything in terms of trying to deal with fraud or the issues that the bill is trying to address. If my best friend who's beside me can show his ID and get my medication. I do want to look at the concerns of people. I understand what my good friend Representative Faircloth and Horn are trying to do. But the truth is that photo identification for folks who really need medication. And some of these times, you're looking at kids who are 16, 17, who are dealing with asthma. You're looking at, you're looking at college kids who are dealing with ADD and other things. There are really proper ways of why these medications are being used and requiring that. I just wish that there was some way that we could deal with it, because if you are in a situation that's dire, like asthma, you don't have an ID, you're trying to go get your medication, you need it right then and there. Your ID is clear across town somewhere. How do you get your medication and you need it right then and there? So we need to be able to address the fact that this ID thing is not everybody. We got to stop thinking like this in this chamber, that everybody walks around with the ID in their pocket, because that's just not the case. I know that you think it is because you do it, but that is not the way that everybody lives. Not everybody has an ID walking around. And so this could really, really, really propose a lot of harm for folks who need medication right now and that do not have an ID right now. So if we can't address that, then I don't know how we can continue to move forward with a bill like that. Thanks.
Representative Stevens, please state your purpose.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To speak on the bill,
the lady is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify that nothing in this bill does or does not change whether you need an ID. The ID portion is already in there. This bill is not requiring an ID to do anything. This bill simply says, when we passed the bill 2 years ago, we said You got to present the ID. Therefore, we don't have to have this specific notice written out anymore. That's all it does. It removes the notice requirement for pharmacies. Representative Murray's happy with us doing that. Thank you.
Representative Glazer, please state your purpose.
To debate the bill, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I rise to understand, and I do understand Representative Bradley and Representative Brandon's point, but I agree with Representative Stevens and Representative Horn. The bill only does two things. I mean, aside from getting rid of the language that we needed to get rid of because of the switch to the technological sign-in capacity, that was required. As to the ID, and believe me, we gave this a thorough vetting. There was a bipartisan work with Representative Faircloth and Representative Michaud and a number of us on exactly what this language is, with an understanding it has absolutely no application to voter ID or any other kind of ID. And it does two things. It simply clarifies the already requirement that there be a photo ID as to what that meant, because people were being turned away who had valid IDs, people who didn't. I mean, there were just issues. And so any ID, including a collegiate ID, we let anything that's a government-issued ID that has a photo on it works. And secondly, we ask them when they orally give their address that they have to give a current valid address, because that's critical for us having it, since IDs often don't have addresses, that simply be given in case there's tracking needed later. I don't think this adds any burden to the person. And I guess the other thing, there are always issues, and there's been tremendous issues, as Representative Brandon said, all through the balance of this. But we also have to remember there are other medications out there. If there ever is an issue on this particular type of med that has this ingredient, there are others out there for emergency purposes until we can go get our ID. So that has not seemed to have been a problem that we heard. It does not seem to be a problem that we heard for years in our committee. I'm not on Representative Horn's committee, but I've kept track of this issue for a lot of reasons. And I think this balances it appropriately, and I hope you'll support it.
Mr. Speaker. Representative Bradley, please state your purpose.
Will the gentleman yield for a question?
Does the gentleman yield?
Certainly.
He yields.
Can you name any other medication that does not require a prescription that relieves asthma?
Sure. I don't have that in front of me, but I will be delighted to get you the information that's available, and I think Representative Horn had some testimony to that effect in his committee previously, but I don't have it sitting here. Didn't expect to be dealing with this issue. But the answer to your question is I believe that there most certainly are.
Representative Murray, please state your purpose.
To debate the bill.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
I don't like the fact that you have to do any of this stuff for Sudafed, but I understand there's a legitimate concern about methamphetamine, so we're balancing that. We're balancing that. The requirement for an ID is a federal requirement. It's a federal requirement, and so we're just clarifying. We're actually making it easier. We're broadening the number of IDs that you can use, and I think that's a good thing for patients. The other thing, it's impossible at this point before this bill to comply with the law. The pharmacies can't comply with the law right now unless we take this language out. So we're in a regulatory no man's land. We cannot both comply with what's in the current statute and what was passed by the General Assembly in the last session. So this is must pass legislation from my perspective, so we can be actually compliant with the law. I would appreciate your support. Thank you.
Representative McCormick, please state your purpose.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To debate the bill. The
gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
I just want to say thank you to Representative Horn for trying to work on this. Representative Bradley is exactly right. There's gaps, and we can't get through it. And we've got a problem that we don't seem to be able to solve. Living in rural areas, we've always been able to go to the store to get a Tylenol sinus, and you simply can't get them. Relative to where the signatures required to move it, the wholesalers have stopped supplying it to the places that you get it. And so we've just moved to the place that it's just simply not available. And to Representative Glazer, no, there's not anything that fills that gap. There's not anything on the market that's non-prescription. But for those of us that live in a rural area, it's a 15-mile drive to a licensed pharmacist to get medicine that you need. And you don't know when you're going to need it, and we've just kind of got a jam here, and I appreciate Representative Horn trying to work through it.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the passage of the House Committee Substitute for House Bill 942 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative and 1 in the negative, the House Committee Substitute for House Bill 942 has passed its second reading and without objection will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina, enact.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the passage of the House Committee Substitute for House Bill 942 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed will say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. House Bill 942, the House Committee Substitute for House Bill 942, has passed its third reading and will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 1025, the clerk will read.
Committee Substitute for House Bill 1025, a bill to be entitled an act to extend the sunset of certain tax provisions. General Assembly of North Carolina, next.
Representative Howard is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the House. As most of you know, the anticipation is that in 2013, the General Assembly will do total tax rewrite bills. And in order to keep everything sort of calm and consistent over the next year, all of the tax credits that were in place that were deemed to expire at the end of this year or the beginning of next, each of those have just been extended one more year, and they include the tax credit for renewable fuel facilities, tax credit for biodiesel producers, work opportunity tax credit, the Article 3J tax credits, the tax credits for recycling oyster shells, tax credits for premiums on long-term care insurance, refundable earned income tax credit, and the tax credit for adoption expenses, and finally, tax credit for qualified business ventures. So, as I said, these extensions will just move from January 1 of 13 to January 1 of 14. And those are the major ones, and I would ask for your support and anticipate that we will have tax reform ready for January of 13.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the passage of the House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1025 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 117 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative, the House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1025 has passed its second reading and without objection will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina, enact.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the passage of the House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1025 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed will say no. The ayes have it. The House Committee Substitute for House Bill 1025 has passed its third reading will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 1066, the clerk will read.
House Bill 1066, a bill to be entitled an act to clarify, modify, and consolidate the law applicable to the passing of title to interest in real estate and personal property devised by will and the rights of lien creditors and purchasers for value as recommended by the General Statutes Commission. General Assembly of North Carolina, next.
Representative Blust is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, this bill comes out of the General Statutes Commission, and I can assure the members this from my 2 or 3 months' experience on the commission now, that you probably will not find bills that are brought before you that have been more thoroughly vetted than the General Statutes Commission bills. It's a commission made up of a lot of law professors, and they're thorough. I can attest to that. This particular bill is clarifying what happens to it's clarifying that a will is valid to pass title to property and sets forth some requirements that must be met for that to happen and puts in protections for those who might buy property from intestate inheritors of property, intestacy being when there isn't a will, after a certain time. And generally, the bill establishes a two-year period in which a will needs to be probated, or the earlier, if the will is probated and the final report of the administrator or the executor is filed. Again, it does simplify the statute. It moves one part of the general statutes to another part. And it also provides that in those rare events when there is a fraudulently suppressed, stolen, or destroyed or lost will, that the time period in which a lawsuit brought to establish that the will was lost or fraudulently suppressed does not count against the running of the two-year period established by the bill. I hope that answers any questions. I'll be happy to answer any simple questions. If you have any more difficult questions, we'll hook you up with the reviser of the statutes to explain in more detail. Hope you'll support the bill. And Mr. Speaker, Representative Ross has an amendment on the effective date, which I support and the commission supports.
Representative Ross is recognized to send forth an amendment. The clerk will read.
Amendment ATD-142V1, Representative Ross, moves to amend the bill on page 2, line 26, by rewriting the line to read, Section 3, this act is effective October the 1st, 2012, and applies to estates of.
The lady is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I think the amendment speaks for itself, but I would say this. I think it's a learning process for all of us that when we have a civil law, it should go into effect October 1st so that we give people enough time to be able to be aware of the law. And in general, when we have a criminal law, it should go into effect on December the 1st. And it was an oversight. It was picked up by Speaker Hackney, who picks these things up. So I guess that means I'm going to have to be in charge of this next session. I'd appreciate your support on the amendment.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question before the House is the passage of the amendment offered by Representative Ross for House Bill 1066. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. All members wishing to record, please do so at this time. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative, the amendment passes. We are back to the bill, ladies and gentlemen. Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 1066 as amended on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. All members wishing to record, please do so at this time. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. House Bill 1066 as amended has passed its second reading without objection. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 1066 as amended on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed will say no. The ayes have it. House Bill 1066 as amended has passed its third reading and will be engrossed and sent to the Senate. House Bill 1067, the clerk will read.
House Bill 1067, a bill to be entitled an act to conform the law governing co-owners with right of survivorship under simultaneous death act to the law governing the holding of unequal shares in joint tenancy with right of survivorship, as recommended by the General Statutes Commission. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Representative Bless is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, this is a fairly simple bill from the General Statutes Commission is just clarifying the law regarding property that's held jointly as tenants in common with right of survivorship, and requiring that at least 120 hours pass for the to establish who might have died first. If two people who own as tenants in common die within 120 hours, then each will keep their own share and pass that by their will or by intestacy when there's unequal ownership. The law was on joint tenancy was revised some time ago to where it can be uneven. Two people can own two-thirds and another, or one person can own two-thirds and another one-third, and in various combinations. And sometimes you get these weird combinations when property is inherited by family members. So this is just clarifying that law. It's been thoroughly vetted. I'll try to answer any questions, and I urge its support. And again, Representative Ross has the same type amendment on the effective date, and I support that amendment.
Representative Ross is recognized to send forth an amendment. The clerk will read.
This is Amendment ATD-143V1. Representative Ross moves to amend the bill on page 2, line 16, by rewriting the line to read Section 3. This act is effective October the 1st, 2012.
The lady is recognized to debate the amendment.
Same explanation, members. I'd appreciate your support.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question before the House is passage of the amendment to House Bill 1067, offered by Representative Ross. All those in favor will say aye. Nope, the chair apologizes. The chair will go with a voice vote. All those in favor will say aye. All opposed say no. The ayes have it. The amendment passes. We're back on the bill. Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the passage of the House Bill 1067 as amended on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. All members wishing to record, please do so at this time. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. House Bill 1067 as amended has passed its second reading and without objection will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacted.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 1067 as amended on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All opposed will say no. The ayes have it. House Bill 1067 as amended has passed its third reading, will be engrossed and sent to the Senate. House Bill 1068, the clerk will read.
House Bill 1068, a bill to entitle an act to amend Article 9 of the Uniform Commercial Code relating to secure transactions as recommended by the General Statutes Commission, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Ladies and gentlemen, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to a group of school students from Concordia Christian Day School from Conover. Please stand and let us welcome you. Representative Blass is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, this is probably the most difficult and arcane of the General Statutes Commission bills. It makes revisions to Article 9 of the Uniform Commercial Code, which governs secured transactions. 25 states and Puerto Rico have already passed these changes. As you may know, the uniform laws are designed so that laws are as uniform as possible among the states. And I think it's anticipated that all states will end up passing this because it may seem arcane, but it's a very important area of the law. In our economy, people like to borrow money and need to borrow money, businesses, individuals, and Article 9 is the instructions and the requirements that govern how those secured transactions are handled, how they attach to property, and how they're perfected so that other potential lenders or buyers of property know how to look to see before they extend credit or buy property as to whether they're getting full title and unencumbered title to property. It's very important. I've seen it personally that when these rules are not followed to the letter, the law can be very cruel and there can be millions of dollars lost. So it is important to get this right. The biggest change in the bill is just saying that when there's an individual who is borrowing money, that individual's identification card, if he's got a driver's license or an identification card issued by the state, that name must be used. So when someone searches to see who's a lender against them, that's what shows up. So that's the most important change. There's also changes in this bill to when there's corporate or other organizations that borrow money and there's a lender, that the entity's name, the lending, must be the name on its organizational documents. And that's where I've seen some major lenders whose names you would have heard of lose their secured status simply because they were off by one letter, so that when you do a search at the Secretary of State's website, the actual name doesn't come up, so you don't find that financing statement on record. The bill also has a provision that gives greater protection when an existing secured party might move to another state or merge with another entity, so there's a change perhaps in the governing, the state's law that governs the transaction. And after acquired property can be very important because a future lender might come in and try to claim a lien on the same property, and sometimes there's a lien on accounts receivable or inventory, and so what the security interest is good against the particular property can change over time. So it's important that that law be clarified. It also makes other minor changes and has some transactional changes that really aren't, I'll go into it if anyone has any questions, but aren't as aren't major portions of the bill. And the effective date of this one is, this law will be July 1st, 2013, because that's going to be uniform throughout the land. That's the date other states are going to also have this change be effective when they pass this law. I'll be happy to answer any questions. I commend the bill to you and ask you to vote for it.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 1068 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. All members wishing to record, clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 115 having voted in the affirmative and one in the negative, House Bill 1068 has passed its second reading and without objection will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 1068 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed will say no. The ayes have it. House Bill 1068 has passed its third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 1069, the clerk will read.
House Bill 1069, a bill to entitle an act to increase the minimum amount of intestate personal property passing to the surviving spouse and the amount of the year's allowance from a decedent's estate for a surviving child to reinstate erroneously removed references to a child's next friend in the statutes relating to a child's year's allowance and to specify that the child's year's allowance may be paid to a widower on the child's behalf as well as to a widow as recommended by the General Statute Commission, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Ladies and gentlemen, the chair would like to welcome another class of elementary school students that are in the back of the chamber back of the gallery here. They are from Hunter Elementary and from right here in Raleigh. Please stand and let us welcome you. Representative Bless is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, this is a relatively simple bill. It changes the amount that passes to a surviving spouse by intestacy. That's when someone dies without a will. It hasn't been increased in several years. It also restores the term next friend regarding a minor. That term was stricken from the law a few years ago, but we found out there are some instances where it is needed. So it's putting that back in the law. It's also increasing the child's yearly allowance, which, again, has not been increased in a long time. So I commend the bill to you. Again, Representative Ross has an amendment dealing with the effective date.
Representative Ross is recognized to send forth an amendment. The clerk will read.
Mr. Speaker, there's no amendment on this one because this is one of those bills where it's important that it goes into effect immediately for the section two and that we have a little bit of a delay for the other one. So there isn't an amendment, but it's good that we thought about it.
The lady is recognized to debate the bill. Further, Representative Hare, please state your
purpose. Just a quick question to Representative Blust. I yield.
The gentleman yields.
Down under section 30-20, on line 37, it says upon the application of the surviving spouse, a child by the child's guardian or next friend. Is next friend defined some way in this? We know what a guardian is and surviving spouse and all this, but is next friend defined, if you recall?
I don't know if it's defined in the bill. I think it's defined somewhere in the law, though. And I can't tell you that right now, but Representative Stamm, I think he can answer that.
He has an answer to most everything, so I'll recognize Representative Stamm.
If the member wouldn't mind, the chair would like to direct the discourse. Representative Stamm, do you yield?
I do.
Gentleman yields.
In the old law French, it's la prochaine amie, the next friend, which is the same as a guardian ad litem.
Thank you.
Representative Ross, please state your purpose.
To speak on the bill.
The lady's recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you very much. Just to be clear, we are adding the next friend back into the law so that people don't have to get guardians for the estate. And what happened was we had changed it to guardian. Well, it had been changed in the past to guardian. But that then created an implication that every estate would have to have a guardian. And there are cases where there is somebody who can act on behalf of the minor, but without having to have this separate proceeding. And the reason why we're adding it back into the law is because we don't want to always have to create those guardians. And that is actually why it needs to go into effect immediately, because there are some people who are waiting to be approved.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 1069 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative, House Bill 1069 has passed its second reading and without objection will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina, enact.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 1069 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed will say no. The ayes have it. House Bill 1069 has passed its third reading and will be sent to the Senate.
Speaker.
Representative Owens, please state your purpose.
A moment of personal privilege.
The gentleman is recognized for a moment of personal privilege.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. A little less than 18 years, I came down here and I gave a little talk saying I'd love to see bipartisanship like the County Commissioners Association. But never in my day did I think I'd see Representative Ross and Representative Bluss pass four bills in a row on this floor.
Representative Stone, please state your purpose.
Personal privilege.
The gentleman is recognized for a point of personal privilege.
Mr. Speaker, I want to make sure I was voted, recorded voting yes on Bill 1069.
The House will be at ease. The chair believes that you were recorded. Members, when I say those wishing to record do so at this time, it is because at least one of you have not pressed your button and you are in your seat. And I did watch Representative Stone. I would have given you that opportunity. You have been recorded. Senate Bill 582, the clerk will read.
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 582, a bill to entitle an act to authorize additional Class 3 gaming on Indian lands pursuant to a tribal state gaming compact to create the Indian Gaming Education Revenue Fund and to appropriate funds. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Representative West is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House. I'm going to talk to you about what the bill will do for the far western end of the state. I'm going to leave all the legal stuff to some of the lawyers that I know are going to speak here in a little bit. What this bill would do, it would create 400 jobs in western North Carolina. We'd be replacing machines with live people at the casino. Those 400 jobs are going to be 80%, 82% filled by non-members of the tribe, meaning they will come off out of the surrounding counties out in the western end of the state. Graham County is one of those counties that joins Swain County, which is the highest unemployment rate in the state. Those people could drive 30 minutes to get a job like that, and they would think they died and went to heaven. We have other counties out there that has the same kind of unemployment rate, and it would mean jobs for those people. Another thing that this bill would do, it would produce $4.5 million worth of purchased goods and services in the area out there. It would create a $300 million economic benefit to Swain and Jackson County. So this means a lot to the folks in western North Carolina. And I would just like to say that the Eastern Band has been a great partner in western North Carolina in economic development and local endeavors that we have in the western end of the state. This bill will strengthen our tourism industry and create jobs for all of western North Carolina, and I would ask for your support on this bill.
Representative Hare, please state your purpose.
Speak on the bill.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, and I would certainly like to echo what Representative West had to say on the economic impact. But there has been some information passed out here that has to do with whether a constitutional issue has been raised under the North Carolina Constitution. And once again, I don't mean to bore you, but you know I'm an old history major. But you got to remember that the Eastern Band of the Cherokee Indians lived in western North Carolina a long time before the white people showed up. And in 1836, after they had saved his life at the Battle of Falling Timbers, Andrew Jackson signed a bill to have the Eastern Band move to the state of Oklahoma. Now, there were a few of them that were not moved because they were considered educated, and there were some of them that hid out in the mountains that they didn't find. And so here this land existed that once was owned by the Cherokees. And the Cherokees were not recognized as citizens, but there was a white man up there by the name of Will Thomas, who was the only white person that was ever the chief of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians. And so the Indians got to buying up land and putting it in his name. And he had thousands of acres of land there in western North Carolina in his name. And during the war between the states, he raised for the Confederate Army what's known as Thomas Legion. And, of course, after the war, was not able to pay the debts that he had incurred, and he actually became insane. And a lawsuit was brought to take this land away from him, which was really he just held in trust for the Cherokee Indians. And so the case went to court, in the federal court, and it's known as the Indian Trust Act, and the government interceded and found that this land was held in trust for the use and benefit of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians. And there's been legislation passed along all that over the years. And right today, the Indians do not technically own the land. It's owned by the United States government that holds it in trust for the Eastern Band of the United States, for the Eastern Band of the Cherokee Indians. So, for many years, then, it's recognized as being a sovereign nation. It has its own tribal government. It has its own school system. It has its own police department, has its own social services, has its own hospital. And so it is a free and separate entity, a sovereign nation. It is the only federally recognized tribe in the state of North Carolina, and I think very few in the, I think only two in southeastern United States. So when the National Indian Gaming Act was passed, it had in mind, like sovereign nations, like the Eastern Band of Cherokee Nation. And so what they have done is turned what used to be, and I'm going to digress for a moment. I remember going to the tribe as a young man, a kid actually, and it was about as poor as any place you could have found. And later on, when I got out of the Air Force and I went back to practice law, we represented the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians for a while. And I know what the school system was. They didn't hardly have any school system. And the tribe, the lands up there had no development and very little, if anything, that went on there, except they had the pageant, they had a few motels, they had a few gift shops, and that was all. But you talk about a transformation having been made was when Harris was permitted to come in and establish this casino. But it's not just a casino anymore. It has now grown to be a resort. Because if you want to come to Harris, you can play golf at the Sequoia National Golf Club. You can, they're getting ready to put in a spa. They have a Ruth Chris restaurant there. They have a Paula Deen restaurant there. They have over 1,000 rooms there. And if you do like I do, a couple of weeks ago I went to see Natalie Cole at their theater that they have there. A month ago I went to see Diana Ross. So they bring in all kinds of class acts for people to come in to see. So it is an engine, but it's like a car. It's running on three wheels, but we need the last wheel. And that is the Class 3 gambling. And so I know that other people want to speak, but I can't tell you what this would mean to Western North Carolina. As Representative West said, all the added jobs. But what it has meant to date, because right now he's talking about 400 new jobs, but right now there's approximately 1,800 people. Let me repeat that. Approximately 1,800 people that work at the casino there in Cherokee. I can think of, you know, we go all out to recruit new businesses to come into the state of North Carolina to help us out. This is one that wants to come in, and it's not going to cost North Carolina any money. It's going to make us some money for education. So I certainly hope that you will vote to support this bill. Thank you.
Representative Stamm, please state your purpose.
To speak on the bill.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
Mr. Speaker, members of the House, the Cherokee Nation is indeed a sovereign nation under law, but this bill purports to affect the law outside the lands of the Cherokees, and therein lies the problem. I'm going to explain why I think the compact is legally flawed, but you do not have to agree with me that it is legally flawed. If you think that there's even a one-third chance or a 10% chance that my argument may be correct, then this is the worst deal for the state of North Carolina I have ever seen. I don't know who was negotiating it on our side, but I want to take you through a few pieces of paper that have been put on your desk. just to under, so you can understand the background of it. The first is the last few articles of our Declaration of Rights. That's the same equivalent as the Bill of Rights in the U.S. Constitution. And these are the four provisions that apply. No person or set of persons is entitled to exclusive or separate emoluments or privileges, that's the key word, from the community, but in consideration of public services. And there are some who will argue, well, the Cherokee Nation is not a person, and we will debate that, and I'll show you that that is not for sure, and that it well could be considered a person under our Constitution. But the second one, Section 33, doesn't say anything about persons. What it says is no hereditary emoluments, privileges, or honors shall be granted or conferred in this state. The next one, Section 34, perpetuities and monopolies are contrary to the genius of a free state and shall not be allowed. And Section 35 lumps it all together, a frequent recurrence to fundamental principles absolutely necessary to preserve the blessings of liberty. This compact and bill violates all three and therefore all four of these provisions of the Constitution we've taken an oath to uphold. It is a separate or exclusive privilege from the community. It is a hereditary privilege because it's based upon bloodline, and it would in this case be conferred or granted by the state, and it is a monopoly. Now, let's have, you know, sort of one thing that's been amazing to me in the explanations I've heard of the bill, almost nobody actually discusses the compact itself. And it's when you put all the amendments together and sort of weave them together, because it's very difficult to read, it's about 28 pages long. But one of the documents I handed out to you is just the front page and page 6. If you would look, please, at the back of page 6 and ask yourself, have you ever seen, did anybody point this out to you? Section 4.1, capital A. In the event that any live table gaming is permitted for any person other than the tribe in the geographical zone encompassing the portion of the state of North Carolina located west of Interstate Highway I-26, as that Interstate Highway is presently located as of the execution date, the state shall forfeit its right to the monthly payments required by Section 4.1. Now think about that for a minute. Under this compact, the estimates I've heard is that we will get about, the state will get about $3 million for education per year for the next 30 years. Now that is really a trivial amount of money. If, I mean, you know what our budget is. I mean, it's so, it's a tiny fraction of money. However, if someone challenges the exclusivity provision and wins, we don't even get that. And we get nothing from the rest of the gambling. So if that provision is successfully challenged, the state of North Carolina for education gets a big fat zero. Now, if you would take the next 6 or 7 page piece of paper, I'm not going to go through it. It's a memorandum by Jeanette Doran of the Institute for Constitutional Law explaining why this is exclusive emolument or privilege and why it's a hereditary privilege. And I'm not going to read it to you. The point is not whether you agree with it, but if can you conceptually think that maybe some person west of I-26 will decide that that person would like to have live table gambling as well, and they might find the judge that agrees with them. And if, can you just imagine somebody would see all the profit going to the Cherokee Nation that gets between 92 and 96% of the profit? Of course they will. Do they have a chance of winning? Of course they have a chance. And if they win, we get a big fat zero. Go to the next, and hope you'll have a chance to read that someday. Black's Law Dictionary. This was put together as if I had written Black's Law Dictionary. I really didn't write it. I just made copies of it. It defines what is a monopoly.
control or advantage obtained by a supplier or producer over the commercial market within a given region. The market condition existed when only one economic entity produces a particular product or provides a particular service. Of course, this is a monopoly. That's the bargain for consideration that the tribe wanted in exchange for turning over the 4 to 8% to the state. The next piece of paper is a little bit by John Orth, who wrote the book on our state constitution, and it deals with these three provisions. You can take a look while all the other speeches are going on. And it's interesting that many of the cases that discuss any of these provisions discuss all three of them because they fit together. Now, a successful plaintiff only has to win under one of these three provisions. But I've heard that Cherokee Nation is not a person, so therefore the first provision doesn't apply. Well, this next little memo here mentions the Pfizer case where the majority held that it was foreign nations were persons, and another case where the Supreme Court decides that it's a matter sometimes they are, sometimes not. It depends on the legislative history of the time. I put myself to sleep for about a month in a row back in December reading the latest issue of the Campbell Law Review on a story of privileges and immunities from medieval concept of the colonies. And I'm not going to read it to you. But my point is this: what are privileges and immunities that are discussed in our Constitution? Primarily, they relate to trade and the ability to trade freely. And unlike in Europe, unlike under the kings, unlike under the charters that were given to the explorers who went out to America to, get gold or do all their things, Englishmen wanted the ability to trade fairly without monopoly. It was a constant struggle between them and the crown, and when they got to America and in the Articles of Confederation, even before the Constitution, in the Articles of Confederation, they put this privileges and immunity clause in there, and it had mostly to do with trade. Now, the reason I mentioned the Articles of Confederation around 1777 or thereabouts is because our provision of the Constitution is based on the Virginia Declaration of Rights, and that's when it was written. That's what people were thinking at the time. We don't want to be like England that has primogeniture and guilds and monopolies and only one person can sell salt, or the queen, grants licenses for, to one person to sell something. We want to be free. And that's why in Section 34, it says that monopolies are contrary to the genius of a free state. What is the genius? It's the animating idea behind a republican form of government, that people are free.
Speaker, Representative Bless, please state your purpose.
If Representative Stam will yield for a question.
Does the gentleman yield?
In about 2 minutes.
Right. The gentleman does not yield.
About 2 minutes. That was the animating principle of the American experiment, is freedom for all. Now, we know that they didn't grant that to everybody at the time, and that's been a constant struggle to make the all, but that's the idea. This compact is exactly contrary to what the people who founded North Carolina wanted to do. Now, we can talk about, I'm not going to talk about the jobs and that's easy to counter those types of arguments. But as legislators, we've got a duty to the Constitution of this state as well. And I urge you to vote no, unless it wasn't obvious. I am not speaking for the majority caucus on this. I just happen to be a representative of the 37th District who cannot vote for a compact such as this.
Representative Bless, may this gentleman yield at this time?
I do not yield.
The gentleman yields.
Representative Stam, this bill is dealing with a document called the First Amendment and Restated Tribal State Compact. So there has been a compact in existence for a while, would your same analysis have applied to the compact that's been in existence? And to your knowledge, has anyone ever brought the suit that you say they might prevail on?
Richard Blessed, I haven't seen that first compact. I think someone actually did file suit. I don't know the result of it. But it's very different. It's very different than this one, that, which, by the way, was not actually signed until about a week ago. So it's been very difficult for people to analyze it because they didn't get around to actually agreeing to it until after the Senate passed the bill. Thank you. Any other questions?
Representative Fisher, please state your purpose.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to speak to the bill.
The lady is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I wanted to talk for just a minute or two about the reasons why I'll be voting for this bill. I remember going to Cherokee as a small child and with my parents and being very excited to go there to see how another culture lives. And as a little girl, being very, very excited and impressed with what I saw. However, what I didn't know later as a grown-up is that what I saw was a lot of poverty, a lot of struggle, a lot of want for more and better. And what strikes me as I listen to my colleagues speak against this bill is that this is not a bad deal for us. I have been brought back to Raleigh to vote on incentive legislation for other parts of the state that cost the state more than many of us. I know I will never see that amount of money in my working life as long as I live. We have paid more in incentives than I would ever see. But this particular deal, I don't think it's the worst deal. This deal costs the state nothing, and in fact will bring hundreds of jobs to Western North Carolina. It will bring tourism economy to an increased level, and it will be revenue coming to the state over 30 years that will amount to about $60 to $90 million. So, and that's without North Carolina spending a dime in incentives. The other thing that I want to make sure that you understand and know is that the Cherokee spend $20 million they spend on off-site vendors coming in to do business in Cherokee. These are people who are not members of the tribe, who come from elsewhere to do work for the Cherokee. They bring those jobs to other people. They have spent $51 million in grants by the Cherokee Preservation Foundation through the revenue that they receive to create new businesses and to help other entities, other residents to find opportunity and stability who are not members of the tribe. And so the point I guess I want to make there is that when you know that 80% of the employees on the reservation are not members of the tribe, when you see the good that they have done through the good stewardship of the revenues that have come into the tribe through for places around Cherokee, not member lands, then you have to think that they've been very good stewards of the money that they receive. In terms of education, Cherokee high school graduation rate is 94.5%. Now, how many schools can we say that about in North Carolina? They lift us up in North Carolina in terms of education. If you go to the Cherokee traditional school, there is a line across the floor, and once you cross that line, you can't speak anything but traditional Cherokee language. It's impressive. I invite you all to go there sometime. I really think that we need to do more to preserve the culture of the Native people in this state and in this country. I think that what they are doing in Cherokee goes a long way toward preserving that for all of us. And for those reasons, I will vote for this legislation because I think that, above all, the evidence I've seen is that it lifts people out of poverty. And that's what we want. So I urge you to support this legislation. Thank you.
Representative Bradley, please state your purpose.
Speak on the bill.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Most of the people in this chamber recognize me as a radical constitutionalist, and that's true. And having listened to the arguments of the gentleman from Wake County, Representative Stamm, regarding the constitutionality, he's right if the Eastern Band of the Cherokee were a member of North Carolina. But that's where the fundamental question comes into play. Are the Eastern Band of the Cherokee a sovereign nation or not? Back when the United States did the Trail of Tears and we pushed the Cherokee out and we drove them to the brink of extinction, one of the things that we did in order to make up for those crimes that we committed was that we recognized that they had a territorial claim in the United States that predates the United States. And we also recognized that they are a sovereign nation unto themselves with self-determination. It is true that some of the things that we are considering here are not according to the North Carolina State Constitution. And if they were a member of North Carolina, then that would prohibit our ability to do this. But the reality is we shouldn't even be considering this. We should have no control over the practices of another sovereign nation. This is up to the Eastern Band of the Cherokee's self-determination to decide for themselves what they want to do or not to do. We should have no place in this decision. And quite frankly, I'm offended that they have to come through us to do what they want to do. I don't believe that gambling is a good idea. I don't believe that hiring the live people at the tables is a good idea. But that's not up to me to say. That's not up to me to determine. And they do not fall under the jurisdiction, or they should not fall under the jurisdiction of the North Carolina or the United States Constitution. Are we telling them the truth when we say that the Cherokee Nation is sovereign? Or are we once again lying to them, as we have since the beginning of our nation? That's the question that we have to ask ourselves. I'm going to support this compact because there's really no other choice. The better choice would be to completely back out and let them do what they want because they are a sovereign nation. But this is what they want, and they should have the right to self-determination, even if we disagree, because they are sovereign. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Representative Hilton, please state your purpose.
Speak on the bill. The
gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to throw out some facts, information I've read, and some facts about, you know, what's going on here. The Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians have already invested $650 million to expand O'Hara's casino, and they've hired lobbyists that many of you have seen walking the halls, and the gambling industries has hired lobbyists to influence this legislation and bring Las Vegas-type Class 3 gambling here to North Carolina. So this is an expansion. This is a fact. If this bill passes, this will expand and increase the number of people that will be gambling in this state. And many of them, North Carolina citizens, people from your districts. So what does that mean? That means more people will be traveling to the western part of the state and spending money that takes money out of
your economy. It doesn't come back. So it doesn't help your area. And what little bit of money that they say that will come to Raleigh is very little, but just a court challenge away to going away. Now, they want to expand this casino and that to two other casinos. There's a five-county area, Jackson, Swain, Haywood, Graham, Cherokee. They want to build maybe two other casinos. That's coming. So it's an expansion, folks. Now, experts on gambling tell us that casino gambling is the most predatory business in the country, and according to the Wall Street Journal article, casinos make 90% of their profits off 10% of their customers who become addicted to this kind of gambling. The facts show us that when this type of gambling starts, we also see an increase in societal problems, increases in crime rates, divorce rates, domestic violence, child abuse, bankruptcy, suicide. We also see more organized crime will be coming in our state because that's what they go after, this type of policy. I mean, I'm a certified police officer recently, and I've taken criminal justice courses. I just finished my associate's degree in criminal justice. And one thing we studied in organized crime, they go where this gambling is, and that's where they prosper. So that's what you're going to see. And as a police officer, while you see other police officers here that's going to be opposed to it, we try to set policy and we try to encourage policy that will drive crime rates down, not increase crime rates. This will increase crime rates. Harrah's Casino was built, crime rate in that the first 5 years went up 25% in that county, Jackson County. Statistics show us in Atlantic City, when the first 15 years, crime rate rose 199%, and larceny increased 481% in Atlantic City the first 15 years. Folks, it's coming. We pass this, we're going to see these problems. Societal problems that will take more out of our economies, that will hurt our people that we represent. That's why for so long, our state has opposed, they've stiff-armed this kind of gambling. Because they know it harms the people. Why would we do something that we know? The facts, scientific facts, it's been proven. It harms people. We don't need to do this. I've been here for 12 years. I was here when the lottery was passed. And we were told that the lottery will fix education. No more problems for education. Has it fixed education? Do we still have a revenue problem for education? Absolutely. On our side, those that are opposed, we said, don't do this. If you pass a lottery, we're going to roll out the red carpet for the gambling industry. And we were told by those who supported it, no, if we pass a lottery, this will assure that this forms of gambling that you're concerned with will not come. You pass a lottery, it won't happen. We'll put restrictions on marketing. We'll put restriction on games with the lottery. So they pass a lottery, what happens? Who was right? Here we are wanting to expand other forms of gambling. Since the lottery was passed, we've already increased the marketing of it. We've already increased the games that were played. And there was a lot of people that voted for it in good faith, got good amendments that would limit that to get their vote on the lottery. Well, they told you wrong. You went along with it, and now what we have? We're wanting to spend more money on preying on people to get them to spend more money on the lottery. Who in this room, in this building, thinks that everyone in this state doesn't know we have a lottery? Then why in the world do we need to spend more money to market it, to get more people to spend their money on something that you know and I know that their chance of winning is practically none? We just want them to spend more of their money. Folks, we're here, we swore an oath to represent the folks, to uphold the Constitution, and to look after our folks and do the things that will not harm them. This will harm the people of North Carolina. It will drive up crime rates. It's not a good deal. It's full of problems. There's a lot of red flags. It's been moved through here. It's gone through the Senate. It hasn't had a proper hearing. It's gone through this House. It hasn't had a proper hearing. We don't know what this compact does. No one can tell me what this compact really does, what's going to be the outcome. But here we are. It's on the floor of the House, and there's still too many unanswered questions. We don't know what harm this could bring. I say let's put the brakes on it, let's vote no, and take a better look at it.
Representative Rapp, please state your purpose.
To debate the bill.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And members, I have had a great deal of grief about this bill, and I want to tell you that I have the highest regard for the Eastern Band of the Cherokees. And let me say that what Representative Hare said, what we heard earlier from Representative West is, and from Representative Fisher, is indeed the case. I know no group of individuals that have been better stewards of the resources than this current leadership that exists in Cherokee. And what you've heard about the schools, what you've heard about the infrastructure and the community, the transformation in the last 20 to 25 years is remarkable. There is absolutely no question about that. What I am concerned about, though, and the reason that I'm standing to oppose this measure, is because this is not about simply adding live gaming to the existing casino. This is about expansion. Now, if this were just about adding live gambling to the existing facility, I would have supported it. It's there. And in previous rulings, decisions, discussions, it's believed to have been fine and acceptable and appropriate. It's there. And no matter what happens about this bill today, it will be there tomorrow as well. So we're not making a decision about those 1,800 people that have jobs there today, losing them based on what you do here today. That is not a factor in this this conversation. What is a factor is whether or not we want to see it expand. And that's my problem. If I could have, in fact, my original conversation with the chief and members of the tribe in my office a year ago, my understanding was that that was what it was going to be, the addition of live gambling, and they made their case very effectively, but my understanding was in the existing facility. Subsequently, as the negotiations evolved, they were talking about four additional sites. It is now down to two additional sites for a total of three that would be located in the far west. And that's where my problem comes in. Now, I'm not going to repeat what you've heard. I'm going to just try to add some things. But, you know, the amount of money we might generate from this, the $2 to $3 million per year, they like to talk about this $60 to $90 million. It's $2 to $3 million per year. And when you put that across the state budget, you can do the equation, what that translates into in terms of revenue for the state. But let's talk about the other thing that has not, to my knowledge, been included in the discussion about this. What about ALE's enforcement of the gaming laws? What about the expense of the law enforcement being factored into this, to the control of the games? What about the social costs of this as well? And anyone who has dealt with that, and I think Representative Hilton spoke eloquently just as a police officer, but I've heard this from our county sheriffs and several of our local law enforcement people about spouses coming to them, pleading with them to stop their husbands or wives from gambling because the family is short of money. There is a social cost. We do get involved. There's no way of getting around that. So from the standpoint of the social cost, from law enforcement, I think we need to take that into account as well. Some of you are aware of the poll that was reported by the North Carolina Policy Watch. It was done May 15th. That's when it was put out, in which 53% of the folks in this state said they opposed this pact, this live gambling. 38% said they favored it, and 9% said they were undecided. But 53%, a majority, were opposed to it. Now, I would say that the standpoint of there's a other context that I want to put this in, because some of you know I've been here for 10 years. I was one of the ones that voted against the education lottery. I had the same concerns that you heard expressed about it. And I also helped to author the legislation banning video gaming, as well as the sweepstakes gaming, which is in the courts right now. We're waiting for the arguments to be heard this September in the Supreme Court on that law. But I think what I'm concerned about and what you've seen is across this state, there's a wildfire opening of sweepstakes, parlors, the video gambling, and I challenge anybody to not find one of those in your community today. I mean, they've sprung up just everywhere. And what I don't want to see happen is that North Carolina becomes the state of gambling. But if I look around, and this is a small piece of it in the bill we're looking at, combined with what we're involved with the video gambling and the video sweepstakes, I see some dark days ahead for North Carolina. So for this reason, I am going to oppose this legislation. I have an amendment that I want to propose, but I want to talk to the bill advocates before I introduce it to the body. I'm really looking for a way to help my friends, and I consider them my friends for many, many years in the Cherokee tribe. And I'm looking for a way to find some common ground, but I'm not going to introduce it until I talk to Representative West, until I talk to Representative Hare, but I want to, Mr. Speaker, let folks know that I probably will be introducing an amendment shortly. Thank you.
Representative Owens, please state your purpose.
Speak on the bill.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Yes, some of the things I've said have been true. Some of the things you've heard were exaggerations. Now, what's the truth? The truth is, if you've never been to Cherokee, you need to go, because a lot of things you're assuming, I mean, it's the largest hotel in North Carolina. It's already a big economic development factor. It's run clean. But the truth is, you're talking about the money going out of your community to there. No, a lot of it's not going there, because people won't go play machines. They're taking that money to Vegas or Atlantic City or Dover or wherever else there is. Money needs to stay in North Carolina. Now, some years ago we looked at it. This would bring in, at that time it was 1,800,000 more tourists. It's probably down now. But even if it brings in 1,000,002, you're not talking about the revenue that you heard, $3 million a year. With all that extra sales tax, occupancy tax, all the other revenues that people will spend throughout their visit to North Carolina will bring in tens and tens of millions of dollars to North Carolina, not counting the 400 direct jobs and that'll be made instantly, and it'll be more than that in the future. And then there's another 600 to 800 indirect jobs that will be created by people having to help provide this. If you went to Cherokee 25 years ago and you saw what was there, and how the people in that area of the state lived. And you go there now. I didn't like spaghetti when I was little because it didn't look right. But once I ate too much. And maybe, yeah, we'll do too much for Cherokee. But they run a first-class operation. And if you hadn't ever been, you really don't know what you're talking about unless you see it firsthand yourself. And I partake and go to a few gambling establishments across the country, and they run a first-class operation. But right now, we need to substitute live people for machines. And right now, that's what you're doing. Most people, they gamble, and these tourists that come want to spend their money in this state, they don't want to be playing against the machine. They want a live person that they're dealing with. This is good for North Carolina. This is good for the people. I realize we try to say that the morality is tough, but I got news for you folks. People are going to gamble, and people are going to drink, and people are going to smoke, and people are going to overeat like I do. These things are going to happen. But we need to do what's best for somebody that has really done a great job. My hats are off to the Cherokee Nation for what they've done for Western North Carolina in particular, but the whole state. They've been great corporate citizens. They've given hundreds and millions of dollars to worthwhile projects across the state, helping people. And more important, they've certainly helped their own by allowing them to have opportunities to make a decent wage. I encourage you to vote for this bill.
Representative Kiever, please state your purpose.
To speak to this bill, please.
The lady is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I stand to support this bill. To me, this is not about what we as North Carolina get out of this compact. It's about what the Cherokee Nation has done and will do for its own people. It will not change people's gambling habits. But I have witnessed the good it has done in the tribal community, the quality of life, the health and education. I've been impressed most of all by the investment they have made in their school system and their young people. This is an economic engine for the far western part of the state. It provides jobs. It provides excellent education. It has improved the health 100% of the members of the tribe. This is not a lottery. They are not pretending to support education. I would not have supported the education lottery were I here, because education should be funded first. They are investing in their young people's education and health, and money only has value in how it is used. The Cherokee tribe has done a wonderful job with the money that they have raised. The majority of the people who come to Harris are from out of state. There are provisions to help people who have a problem with gambling. I urge you to support this on behalf of the Cherokee Nation.
Representative Harrison, please state your purpose.
To ask Representative Stamm a question. Is he in the chamber?
The gentleman is returning to his seat. He anticipates by the pace that he is prepared to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate your scholarship on this, and I had a chance to skim this document from the Institute for Constitutional Law. I didn't get to read it carefully, but as I understand it, there is a case to be made that there's a chance that this contract might be deemed to be a hereditary emolument.
A hereditary privilege, I would say, yes. A good chance, excellent chance.
Thank you.
Follow up?
Yes, thank you. So if that were the case, if, say, the gambling industry were to challenge this and it were deemed by a court to be the hereditary privilege, would that mean that the entire state could possibly be open to Class 3 gaming?
If you look at page 2 of the bill, which is 292.2, and if you go down to subsection C, nothing in this section shall modify or affect laws applicable to persons or entities other than the tribes, a judge would have a difficult choice, to say that the whole law goes down or subsection C goes down. So I don't know whether a judge would open up the whole state or throw the whole law out. My opinion would be more likely a judge would throw out subsection C because judges tend to like to interfere as little as possible with legislation.
Thank you, Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Representative.
Pages, if you will please come to the front, come to the well of the House, please. We know it's 3 o'clock and it's Thursday, so we're going to have you come to the House and thank you for your service. Members, while the pages are doing that, the chair has consulted with the opponents of the bill, and the chair anticipates an objection to third reading. And therefore, the chair would encourage members who are considering amendments to possibly consider taking those up on third reading. Any amendments in order will be taken from the floor in third reading. The members are also welcome to send them forward today, but in the interest of time management, the chair would like for you to consider that. Pages, I want to thank you all, and I know on behalf of all the members of the House and the staff, we want to thank you for your service this week. I hope that you saw a discussion yesterday that discussed the spending of some $20 billion. That's a pretty big bill that you all got to observe yesterday, and I'm sure it was thrilling to you, as thrilling as it was to us. But you got to see a number of other things that I'm sure that hopefully it interested you. I hope that you enjoyed your time this week, but I hope maybe one or two of you it interested you so much that you'll consider coming and serving in this House. Thank you very much for your service. On behalf of all the members, we thank you. We appreciate your service. We hope you have a great summer. You are released. Have a great weekend. Representative McElrath, please state your purpose.
To debate the bill.
The lady is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House. I wanted to just say that I've changed my mind on this bill. I started out saying that I would not support this bill. And then I started being real with myself. And I started thinking about what it meant to support this bill. And I wanted to be honest with you. I went to Cherokee and did a little research. I actually took my mother and two sisters, and we had a wonderful time. It was my mother's birthday. She's 87, will be 87. She's had a stroke since then. But we had a great time celebrating her birthday. She couldn't make it to Las Vegas. She loves Las Vegas. By the way, mother, two sisters, Southern Baptist. I'm Catholic, so has nothing to do with morality. We truly believe, as Republicans and as conservatives, that people should have the right after 21 to do what they want to do. I believe that there are gambling addictions out there. I believe that it's entertainment for other people. And I enjoyed the days that I spent at Cherokee with my mother, who lives 3 hours from there, living in Georgia, and my two sisters. And as I was there doing my research, I didn't charge my travel to the state, by the way, I noticed that there were tables that looked like Las Vegas-style tables there already. And there was a gentleman or two or a lady or two behind them giving money to people, change and all. So quite frankly, it already looks like there's Las Vegas-style gambling there. The only difference is that the people that are sitting there are gambling against a machine. And if you know anything about gambling, and not that I do, but I will tell you that gambling against a machine is much worse odds
than gambling against a live dealer. So for those North Carolinians and those others who come from Georgia and other places to spend their money in North Carolina, you would think that we want to give them the best chance to win their money so they can go and spend it in our state. Live gambling is probably the best way to do that, live dealers. It's not going to change the people who are already gambling there. Sure, I looked around and saw people that couldn't afford to be there. And who am I to judge them? But I know that there were other families there having fun. Cherokee's a great place. Like they said, the hotel's wonderful. The food, we spent more time, I think, eating there. We had three wonderful meals there. And we got comp because we lost so much money. No, please. My point is that it can be recreation for people. It can take an 87-year-old woman who can't go on a cruise or do other things, but she can go there and sit at a machine or play blackjack or whatever and enjoy it with her daughters. What the Indian tribe at Cherokee has done, I have seen all over Oklahoma. I'm from Oklahoma. There's almost a casino in every town in Oklahoma now. Oklahoma has generated almost $500 million worth of non-gambling revenue. I don't ever want North Carolina to become an Oklahoma as far as gambling. But the Indians in Oklahoma are now building their own hospitals, are now taking care of themselves. They are out of poverty in Oklahoma for the first time since we put them there on the reservations. It is time for us to respect the Cherokees and their sovereignty. And it is time for us to step back and not think about our personal beliefs, but allow people to do what they want themselves and make those choices and not stand in their way. I don't believe that this compact is going to hurt North Carolina. I do believe that it'll bring more Georgians and more Tennesseans and more people who can't afford to go to Las Vegas to our state. And I hope you will support this.
Representative Michaud, please state your purpose.
To speak on the bill.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
Mr. Speaker, I listen with a great deal of alacrity with what Representative Stam had to say, and I'm glad he raised the legal issue on that, because what you must understand is that us lawyers know that there are always two sides to an issue, and that if you try to outguess a jury, you try to outguess a judge, you're taking a big gamble on a whole lot of things when you do that. But be that as it may, what I want to tell you is very simply this. We have gambling in this state already. The folks on their way to Cherokee right now to spend the weekend up there, and they're going to gamble. They're going to gamble with a bunch of machines up there and not live dealers. Like my friend Brother Owens, I've been to a few of these casinos too. In fact, sometimes I cross paths with not only Brother Owens, but a whole lot of other folks who are here at some of these places. But be that as it may, the fact of the matter is we have gambling in this state already. It's in a casino in the western part of the state. So if you're going to have it, why not make it beneficial for the people that it will help? And that's those people out there who are going to get those extra jobs. Where you're going to have live dealers. Where you're going to have people who are making the money to live with. You're going to have problems anywhere you go with anything that you do. I don't drink. I think liquor is a bad problem. People are habitually addicted to drinking. They cause a whole lot more damage in my mind than a lot of these other things you think cause crime to exist. So why not go ahead on and just accept the fact that we've got gambling in the state now, and that what this bill does is simply provide more jobs for people in an industry that's already in the state.
I hope you will support the bill.
Representative Jones, please state your purpose.
Debate the bill.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know that I'll add a lot to what's been said today, except that I want to explain why I will not support the bill. I've heard a lot of valid arguments, I guess, from both sides, and I think one wise representative said that sometimes things get exaggerated, I guess, on both sides. But I do think we need to be honest with ourselves and say that this is not about jobs. This is not about just legitimate jobs, because if it were, it would have been passed a long time ago. I'm very confident that regardless which party would be in control here, that if there were legitimate jobs out there on the table, that they would have passed legislation to allow it not only in one section of the state or not only under one people, as we've been discussing, but in every area. Like many of you, I represent a relatively impoverished area. We have certainly very high unemployment, as we do pretty much throughout this state. And if I thought that these were legitimate jobs, I'd probably be fighting like a lot of you to have this come to my county, too. I've heard a lot of comments, well, we have gambling in this state already, or they're going to do it, so why don't we just go ahead and say it's okay? And I guess the answer is because it's not okay for a lot of the reasons that we've heard already. Folks, it is a moral issue, and I know there are people that feel like that governments shouldn't weigh in on moral issues. If that's the case, while we're here this session, perhaps we should go ahead and take a stand and legalize prostitution. We could create jobs in this state and probably get a few laughs with that, but let's be honest about it. We could say that we created jobs. Drug trafficking, loan sharking. There are all kinds of jobs out there that we could say that we helped to create. But if I were going to vote for this bill, I think of all of the arguments that I have heard, I would probably accept the argument that Representative Bradley made, that, you know, this is a sovereign nation. Why not just let them do what we want to do? And by the way, I think there are very good reasons for both conservatives and liberals to oppose this bill. But I do want to say, as someone that sees myself as relatively conservative, that as a conservative, I don't think that that means that I believe that just anybody ought to be able to do whatever they want to do. Folks, that's not conservatism. That's anarchy. That's chaos. I think on the liberal side, I would just suggest that sometimes we talk about regressive taxes or regressive amounts of money being taken from certain people that probably can least afford it. I do know that in often cases, in instances of gambling, as it stands, that the most money ends up being forfeited by those that can afford it the least. I've seen statistics that say that 50% of the money from this comes from 5% of the people. And we have heard, I think Representative Hilton made a very eloquent argument about the social costs. And quite honestly, I think a lot of what we deal with here as a legislature is related to social costs. Mr. Speaker, if he would yield for question, I would like to ask a question for Representative Stamm.
Does the gentleman yield?
I do yield.
He yields.
Thank you, Representative Stamm. You heard the argument made about tribal sovereignty and how basically we shouldn't interfere because this is a sovereign nation. And I'm not a lawyer. I don't play one on TV. But we've got some good lawyers here. Maybe you could explain a little bit. I did do a little research, and I understand that the sovereignty given to Indian tribes in the United States is a little bit different than the sovereignty that we extend, for instance, to other nations. And could you maybe speak to that question?
I could. I think we could look at it by saying, what if this were Germany? If there were a trade, which is a truly sovereign nation, if there were a trade pact between Germany and the United States that said, United States, you can manufacture cars in Michigan, but you cannot manufacture them in North Carolina. Would we put up with that? No. Indian tribes are in law are called domestic dependent nations. Now, they are called nations, but they're domestic dependent nations. And Cherokees, like all other Indian tribes, they serve in the United States Army. They don't serve in the Cherokee Army. They vote in our elections. It is not the same as Germany or France. They are trying, by this compact, they are trying, if all this law did was to say Indians can gamble with each other on Indian land, then Representative Bradley would have some kind of point there. But this bill and compact tells the state of North Carolina that people cannot engage in certain business in competition with them outside of, out of tribal land. A totally different situation.
Thank you, Representative Stamm. Again, I would just say that I do oppose the bill, and I ask that you would vote against it. Thank you.
Representative Brandon, please state your purpose.
Speak briefly on the bill.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
I want to echo the comments of my colleagues who rise to support the bill. I do want to say that the Cherokees are an example of sustainable communities. They've done a great job of being able to take the monies that they've gotten for themselves and create a community that doesn't really require a lot of our oversight from the state or us having to use our funds to take care of them. I wish some of our own communities would have that same mentality of each one teach one and not try to, and each one teach 10. I think they do a great job with that. They've been excellent stewards of this state, and I hope that we can all support the bill and support their wishes as a sovereign nation. Thanks.
Representative Engel, please state your purpose.
To debate the bill.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We heard a lot of arguments today, ladies and gentlemen, pros and cons. I think back to what Representative Rapp had to say that I think is a very important part of this bill. It could be that maybe it's fixed by amendment. That's the fact that when you look at the Cherokee Nation, it's not all one piece of property. It's not contiguous. It's divided. And because of that, when you look at this bill, the three locations, as Representative Rapp so eloquently said, we're talking about some major changes in things that are going to be going on there in Cherokee if this occurs. I have the concerns that that we've heard here today in reference to the social concerns, what we've seen in Las Vegas and other locations where vice does follow the gambling, and as we continue to increase what is being done here there at the Cherokee Nation. So because of that, I cannot support this bill and will not. Based on my years, 40 years in law enforcement and what we see and the difficulties. And certainly, that's not to say that the Cherokee Nation has not done some great things with the funding that they have received for education and other things in view of what they've received there with the machines. But I think this is taking it a step too far, and I will not support this bill. Thank you.
Representative McGuirk, please state your purpose.
To ask if Representative West would yield to a question.
Does the gentleman yield?
I yield, Mr.
He yields.
Representative West, tell me if you can, will the passage of this bill eliminate the video gaming at Cherokee, or will that continue as well?
I can't answer that question fairly, but I think it'll eliminate a lot of them because we're replacing a lot of the games that are video with live dealers now. There may be some games that's left that are video, but I cannot answer that question completely.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Speaker, debate the bill.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
I'm inclined to vote in favor of this bill, and I probably will vote in favor of this bill, because I want to do all I can to eliminate video gaming in any form in North Carolina. Video gaming is not gambling. With gambling, you got a chance. With video gaming, you ain't got a chance. You're playing against a computer that's programmed to take your money. Live dealing is much preferable to the video machine, and I hope you'll join me in voting for this bill. Thank you.
Representative Pittman, please state your purpose.
Debate the bill.
Gentleman's recognized to debate the bill.
Thanks, sir. My knowledge of Cherokee history is not perfect by any means, but I understand that we, when I say we, I mean white Europeans coming over here, have had a bad effect on their history in many ways. I know what it is to feel a sense of collective guilt even for things I haven't done, because as a Christian, I realize as a human being, I may not have been there, but I bear part of the guilt for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And so I feel a sense of collective guilt in what the white man has done to the Cherokee over the years. I have some sympathy for Representative Bradley's concern about the idea of a sovereign nation, that we shouldn't be deciding this. And quite frankly, I wish we weren't deciding this. I wish we didn't have anything to do with it. To say that they're a sovereign nation and then we get to decide this, I'm uncomfortable with that. However, the simple fact of the matter is, the way things are set up, we do have to decide this. And there's a sense of wanting to help the Cherokee people. And I have nothing against helping the Cherokee people at all. But for one thing, you know, I heard somebody say earlier about how many folks who were not Cherokees going to be getting some of these jobs. I don't know how that helps the Cherokee people for non-Cherokees to get a lot of the jobs. And I don't believe that we can help any people by encouraging them to adopt corrupt practices. Over the years of our relationship with the Cherokees, we've brought problems to them associated with alcohol, as Chief Hicks was saying earlier today. We've brought them diseases that this continent didn't know until we came here. We brought them death and destruction through warfare and displacement from their land. Now we're bringing them corruption through gambling, and we want to do more of that to degrade the moral fiber of their society even further. I know a lot of people might disagree with me that gambling is immoral, but I believe it's a mutual effort to steal from each other, and I consider that breaking one of the Ten Commandments. So as a Christian, I just can't support that, and I hope that this body will not. Thank you.
Representative Faircloth, please state your purpose.
To debate the bill.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
I hadn't intended to speak on this issue, but it raises quite a few concerns for all of us, because it's so important to our state, and it's also vitally important to our future. I had occasion a few years back to qualify in court as an expert on gambling. I learned a lot about the different kinds of gambling. A lot of people don't know much about gambling. They participate sometimes in activities they don't really understand. For instance, if I pick up this piece of candy off my desk, and I say to my seatmate here, I'll bet you $25 that I can hit that circle in front of the speaker with this piece of candy, and you can't. And he says, okay, I'll take that bet. Are we gambling? A lot of lawyers in here, I'll bet some of them would even miss the question. That's a game of skill. That's not gambling. You can bet on that in North Carolina. However, if Kelly says, let me bet somebody that you can't hit that any better than he can, now we've got the third party in, that's where the skill goes away and the chance picks up. And gambling is betting on chance. Had an experience one time where got a complaint and went to this little curb market, and there was a 5-gallon water jug sitting there. It was about half full of water. In the bottom of the jug was a baby food jar. It was surrounded by nickels and dimes and quarters. And it sat on the counter right there in the curb market. And the complaint that I was answering was from a mother who said that her son was taking his lunch money, and instead of buying lunch at school, he was going down to that curb market, and he was dropping that quarter in the top of that jug to see if it would go through the water and land in the baby jar. If it did, the shop owner gave him a candy bar. Is that gambling? We went to Superior Court and won it. It is gambling. Because it was chance, predominantly chance. Gambling is a very nebulous thing, and if you start examining all of the details in it, I'll give you one that some of you may have seen. If you had turned on TV 5 years ago and looked at the poker games that are played, the professional poker games, all the guys sitting around the table, and most of them were guys, were old gray-haired guys like me, some of them wearing cowboy hats. They'd been gamblers for years. They'd won all kinds of trophies. They'd won all kinds of money. You go home tonight and turn on that TV. They are college graduates, 18, 19, 20 years of age. They're now world champions at poker, and they sit at tables and play. This is a tough, tough question for all of us. Is gambling wrong? To me, gambling is wrong. Is it a moral issue? Yes, it's a moral issue. But there are also economics involved. There's the future involved for us. There's the question about, does this situation we're talking about, if we allow it to occur, spread to the rest of our state? Boy, this is not an easy one. I stand before you knowing a lot about the issue, still not quite knowing how I'm going to vote about this, because I love the Cherokee Nation. I love the heritage. And I don't want to do anything to hurt them. But I love my state of North Carolina, too. I wish I could tell you which way I'm going to vote. I'm going to wait a few more minutes before I decide.
Representative Horn, please state your purpose.
To debate the bill.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
I, too, had not planned to speak on this bill. And I have, I've had a difficult time deciding how I was going to vote. When I walked into this chamber, I was leaning in one direction. I've listened to the debate, tended to lean in another, and I recognize it is a moral issue to a great extent. And I'm concerned about that affects the least among us. I spent 40 years in the food business, and most of that was calling on convenience stores and saw the number of people lined up to buy lottery tickets. Talk about no chance in your video games. That's pretty much a dead end. But I was fascinated to see and listen to how many people have visited Cherokee and hear the good times they had. How many people here have visited Pine Ridge in South Dakota? Where you're going to see a nation of Indians in true poverty. I mean, break your heart poverty. They have alcoholism that they cannot control. They have kids that don't go to school at all, ever. They have not a lot of crime because there's nothing to steal. There are no jobs. There's nothing there. It is the worst place in the country as far as I'm concerned. My heart breaks every time I think about Wounded Knee and the Lakota Sioux and Pine Ridge. And if you haven't been there, I beg you to go. Because talk about a forgotten people and a forgotten nation. And I see what the Cherokee, the Eastern Band of Cherokee, have done for their people. And to a great extent, how they've taken almost nothing and turned it into something, because we've allowed them to exercise their rights to self-determination. So, it's been rumored that I'm a gambler. I am. I love to gamble. I've been to lots of casinos all over the world. I admit it. I love it. I really enjoy it. It's great fun. Fortunately, I can afford it. But I also look around in those casinos, and I see dealers, professional dealers, well-trained to know who should be there and who shouldn't. And that's not what happens with one of those video game machines. So I think that gaming with live dealers can be good, controlled, beneficial, can do the right thing for the people, can help those that need help, can identify those that don't know they need help, and that can continue to bring people out of poverty into education with that wonderful results that we have already heard about here in the Cherokee Nation. So I will be voting for this bill, and I encourage you to do the same.
Representative Hilton, please state your purpose.
Speak a second time.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill a second time.
I won't speak long, but I just wanted to address something that was raised by Representative McQuirk about what will happen to these existing machines. And there's nothing in the bill that says they have to do away with these machines. If they build two other casinos in other counties, what will happen is probably they'll replace those machines with live dealers and then move those machines over to those other two establishments. So probably you'll see an increase in video gaming if this bill passes. So thank you.
Representative Hager, please state your purpose.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Debate the bill.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We've heard a lot about morality and social cost. And I think I'll remind you guys that the five counties surrounding this area have double-digit unemployment. Now, we have to decide for ourselves what's more moral, to give 400 people that don't have jobs, bring them out of poverty, be able to pay their mortgage, be able to pay their power bill, or to leave them in poverty. I think we have to decide what's the more moral issue here. I choose to put them to work. Does crime actually increase in these areas? Got a study here from the National Gambling Impact Study Commission created by Congress, and they say no. Communities near our host casinos are just as safe as communities that are further away from casinos. The National Gambling Impact Study also found that casinos reduce welfare and unemployment rates. That's exactly what we're trying to do in Graham County, where the unemployment in January was 20.5% and is now 16.7%. Or in Swain County, where the unemployment was 19.4% and is now 13.6%. That's exactly what we're trying to do, guys. That you have to decide which is more moral, to give a man, a husband, or a father, or a wife, or a mother a job, or to leave them where they are. I will be voting yes on this bill.
Ladies and gentlemen of the House, we have another group of elementary students that have entered the chamber here to my right, and the chair and all the members, on behalf of all the members, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to the teachers, chaperones, and students from Claxton Elementary from Buncombe County in Asheville. Welcome. Representative Stamm, please state your purpose.
Speak second time.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill a second time.
Thank you. I just want to disabuse the members who think that there's anything in this bill that will get rid of one video game. I am glad that we recognize that video games are a menace, but this bill does not require the destruction or removal or anything of one single video game. Secondly, and I address this to all the folks out east who have thought about the tolls across Pamlico Sound. 1879, Washington Toll Bridge Company versus Commissioners of Beaufort. The Supreme Court of North Carolina considered a bill that said that those passing over the bridge would pay one half the existing rates if they're residents of a certain part of Beaufort and Pitt, while everybody else pays the full freight, and then prohibit opening of another bridge somewhere else to get around it. And our Supreme Court said this violates the
monopoly provision, the exclusive emoluments, and it's contrary to the genius of a free state. And here, this is what I want to explain. We have had several speeches saying that the argument for this is it will be good economically for the Cherokee. Well, guess what? All monopolies are good for the monopolist, and they harm those who are not part of the monopoly, and that's why our state constitution has forbidden them for hundreds of years as contrary to the genius of a free state.
Representative Moore, please state your purpose.
To debate the bill.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, given the hour, I won't go into too much detail, but I did want to respond to some of the arguments offered by my good friend Representative Stamm with respect to some of the legal issues. It's very rare that he and I are on all opposite sides of issues here, but today we are, and I want to stress a few things. I always get amused when Representative Stamm brings in the Articles of Confederation. You did not bring up the Magna Carta today, though, so I am proud of that. And several other authorities. And the issue basically was, is an Indian tribe, an Indian nation, is that a person under the law? And so as my good friend from Wake did, when you can't really find a case that helps you on point, you argue a bunch of different things to infer it. But there's actually a case directly on point, and the case is Inyo County, California, versus the Paiute Shoshone Indians of the Bishop Community of the Bishop Colony. It's a United States Supreme Court case from 1887. And in that case, the Supreme Court was called upon to define whether an Indian, whether a Native American tribe would be considered a person under the law, specifically under section 1983 of the U.S. Code. And the finding of that case was, in fact, that it is not, that a sovereign nation or an Indian tribe is not a person. So all of this talk about emoluments and all these, in some ways, arcane legal arguments hinge on whether or not the Cherokee Nation is in fact a person. And the Supreme Court has ruled that Indian tribes are not persons. And I told you wrong on the year, by the way. I said 1887. It was the Sites 123, Supreme Court 1887. The case was decided in 2003. So, it's a relatively recent case. It's on point, and it defines the issue. The other issue has to do with whether this is a monopoly. And I would submit to you it is not a monopoly. Think about it. The casino has been in operation now all these years. It's the only casino in the state. There have been cases, as I understand, filed, arguments made against it, and it's open. It's still in business. So what's the net effect of this bill? Again, members, you've seen the compact. You've heard discussions of the compact. We are not voting on the compact. We don't have jurisdiction to vote on the compact. That is between the governor and between the Indian tribe. What we are voting on, very simply, is the legislation that would enable the compact to go forward. This legislation, all it is really doing when you cut to the chase, that is significance, is take where it's a computer, where it's a machine sitting there and doing this gambling or whatever you want to call it, and it replaces that machine with a live person. It puts a person there earning a job instead of a computer. The other arguments that had been made, the horse is out of the barn, folks. It's there. It's just a matter of whether you want a live person there or whether you want a machine. With respect to the territorial issue about being west of I-26, that's something that has to be done. There has to be a bargain for exchange for there to be revenue sharing. So this process has been vetted. I assure my colleagues, I don't see any way that this bill can in any way expand this beyond where it is right now. It's further defined. It's narrowly tailored to achieve that purpose, and it is very simply will not lead to an expansion of gambling in North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate your support of this bill.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Stamm, please state your purpose.
Representative Moore, yield for one question.
Does the gentleman yield? He yields.
Representative Moore, looking at the four constitutional provisions, your argument about whether the Indian tribe is a person or not, would you admit to the House that that has no relevance to the argument on Section 33 or 34 of the Constitution?
The Section 30, I think it's all relevant because everything that ties in with respect to the emoluments, it's simply not that. You're talking about a thing about the hereditary issue. And it is not, it's not hereditary. It's not something vesting by heredity. This goes to, not a person, goes to an Indian tribe, which has been found to be not a person.
Representative Graham, please state your purpose.
Speak on the bill.
Mr. The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the House. It's an honor and privilege to stand up and be an American Indian today. I do want to speak on this bill. I do want to emphasize some points that I have not heard stressed in our discussions this afternoon. And I'll be brief. Until you've lived in any community and you've had an opportunity to live the culture, as I have, and I'm sure the Cherokees have as well, the impact that our decision today could potentially have could cause harm to a tribe that's well respected in this state. There's a moral issue here. When we talk about opportunity for our American Indian citizens in Cherokee, we need to be real careful when we talk about history and how history has treated our American Indian people. And this compact, and I want to commend our governor for negotiating this compact, working with not just the Cherokee, but all tribes in this state, making sure that she was fair and looking at the needs of all of our state-recognized tribes and coming up with a compact that was fair and that we could live with. And I commend her counsel and the governor for allowing input from other tribes on this issue. But do you realize, and I've heard Jobs and I've heard other comments made relative to the compact, but let's look at the human side of this thing and consider the health care issues and the benefit that the proceeds from gaming will allow the Cherokee tribe to enjoy. Do you realize that as a result of the existing gaming on the Cherokee Reservation, North Carolina does not put any Medicaid money into that community? Did you realize that? Now think about this. The Cherokee community takes care of their health care needs. They don't depend on Medicaid dollars in this state to do that. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that. They have their health care system. Do you realize that as a result of their health care system, our private providers, our specialists, receive over $13 million in revenue as a result of the hospital system in Cherokee referring clientele to specialists? That's revenue for specialist, because they have a good health care system as a result of the gaming proceeds. The American Indian Health Board, which is comprised of American Indians across this state, has endorsed
this bill because of the advantages and the benefits of health care that will be generated if we approve this bill. We're not talking about approving gambling. We're talking about improving a way of life. The Cherokee, they have their gambling. We're talking about improving a way of life. This is nothing new. Gambling exists from Manioto Murphy in this state. And I encourage you to look at the moral issues and the health care benefit and the other benefits that we're going to confer to the Cherokee today. And if you haven't made up your mind on this vote, consider the human side and the human suffering that you could enhance today. Please consider this. Please consider the needs of this community and the benefits that our vote will do to enhance the quality of life for the Cherokee people. I commend this vote to you, and I hope you will find a way to support this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hastings, please. Representative Killian, please state your purpose. The chair apologizes. Representative Hastings, please state your purpose.
Speak on the bill.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
Well, as I learned today, some of our leadership just found out about the Cherokee Reservation not long ago. Some of us have been more involved over the years, especially having worked in the 11th Congressional District for a member, for a cardinal of appropriations in the House, who actually served as the subcommittee chair for appropriations for the Department of the Interior. This is not a new issue. It goes back many years. I've not taken any money from any party about this issue, but I just want to go on record because I've had a number of constituents ask what my opinion is. And it does pain me to go against some of my friends in leadership, but I'm going to go on record. Many of you might think that since the Honorable Chief is here, that this is not a divisive issue on the reservation. But I'll tell you, as a person who worked for a congressman for the 11th Congressional District, the gaming issue on the reservation itself is very divisive. And I don't plan to support the bill today.
Representative Killian, please state your purpose.
Do you speak on the bill?
The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Fellow members, we've heard today from a few of our peers that they're gamblers. Well, you probably won't be surprised to know that I'm not. That said, I'm not risk averse. If you know some of the things that I've done, obviously I'm very familiar with risk, and I'm very eager to take risk at times. However, when I look at this situation and I evaluate the rewards versus the risks, and I see the potential upside of some additional jobs and some revenues and the ability for a great nation to continue to take care of itself, I think that's a good thing. But on the other hand, I do see the legal risk that was so eloquently pointed out to us by Representative Stamm. I also see some of the social issues that have been also pointed out. But in addition to that, I also see from my development perspective some economic risks. And if you think about the potential of gaming and its impact on a community from an economic standpoint, and you think about, as it's been described, that this has the potential of bringing Las Vegas here, and you further that to thinking about how Las Vegas is faring now in this economic crisis that we have, I think that illustrates my concerns as a developer, the potential drastic economic impacts on a community, because Las Vegas is the foreclosure capital of this country. Its dependence on one particular industry has accelerated and exacerbated an existing problem that has made it an absolutely economically catastrophic place. And when I consider the additional risks that have been pointed out, on top of that, in my opinion, the potential rewards of this expansion versus those potential risks are not sufficient. And therefore, I would suggest that you vote against this bill.
Representative West, please state your purpose.
Speak on the bill a second time, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill a second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the House. You've heard a couple of times today that this bill is not about gaming. We already have gaming in Cherokee. It's been going on for several years. It's about how we're going to do the gaming and how we're going to create jobs. What this bill will do, it'll create jobs not only in Cherokee. I live in Cherokee County, and people get confused that I live in Cherokee. It'll create jobs in my county, Representative Harris County. It's about jobs that we so desperately need out in the far west. And I would urge you to support the bill.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House is the passage of the House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 582. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock machine record the vote. 66 having voted in the affirmative and 49 in the negative, the House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 582 has passed its second reading. The chair has conferred with the opposition and anticipates an objection. Therefore, it's the judgment of the chair that this will be carried over to next week for third reading. Members who have suggested, and it was with that understanding, I think some members did not send forth an amendment today, so in respect to those members, I would encourage those members who are considering amendments to confer with the bill proponents, and we will work this out. And ladies and gentlemen, on Monday, there are retirement celebrations for members who will not be returning next year, and to make sure that we have ample time to allow people to get to their events, the chair would like to have session at 5:30, and most likely will not be taking up this bill on third reading, unless through prior agreement we can know we're taking up the amendments, if any amendments, and if the debate is going to go as it did today, we'll most likely take this up on Tuesday. Representative Moore, please state your purpose.
For a motion, Mr. Speaker, with respect to a bill.
The gentleman is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, move that House Bill 345, which is the move over law, be removed from the Committee on Transportation and be set on the calendar for next Tuesday, whatever date that is. June 5th.
Without objection.
And for an announcement.
If the gentleman will yield for a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, I request that the Sergeant-at-Arms get copies of the budget bills since they were available so that we could pass them out here to save the time of getting them to all the offices. The Sergeant-at-Arms may pass out the budget bills at this time. The gentleman is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For an announcement, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman is recognized for an announcement.
Mr. Speaker, the House Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations, the House will meet Monday afternoon at 5. The purpose of that is to simply consider a resolution honoring the retiring members of the State House, and that will be at 5 o'clock.
Notices and announcements. Representative Hackney, please state your purpose.
For an announcement.
The gentleman is recognized for an announcement.
House Democrats will caucus 1 hour before session. That will be 4:30.
Representative Bradley, please state your purpose.
For announcement.
The gentleman is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The educational seminar on the NDAA and Agenda 21 will be taking place immediately upon adjournment of the session. Thank you. Flight room 544, LOB.
Ladies and gentlemen, to remove any doubt about when this matter would come up again, the bill that was just before us, without objection, the chair is going to move that be on the calendar for Tuesday rather than Monday. Further notices and announcements.
That was the game. Thank you.
Further notices and announcements? Representative LaRocque is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, subject to committee reports, re-referral of bills and resolutions, I move the House to now adjourn to reconvene on Monday, June 4th at 5:30 p.m.
Ladies and gentlemen, in addition to the motion, Representative LaRocque moves, seconded by Representative Moore, that the House do now adjourn. In addition to the motion, stipulation set forth in the motion by Representative LaRocque, we will also be doing introduction of bills and resolutions. All those in favor of the motion to adjourn, please say aye. All those opposed, say no. The ayes have it. The House stands adjourned.
Would you print me out a roll call?
Introduction of bills and resolutions. The clerk will read.
Representative Owens, House Bill 1196, Albemarle Mental Health Center property.
Government and Favorable Finance.
Representative Holloway, House Bill 1197, add Stokes County to tax certification for recordation.
Government.
Representative Pierce, House Bill 1198, workers' compensation, volunteer fire departments.
Government and favorable finance.
Representative Hager, House Bill 1199, Lake Lure convey property.
Finance.
Representative McGee, House Bill 1200, Winston-Salem firefighters' retirement.
And dollar.
Representative Insco, Rapp, Harrison and Kieber, House Joint Resolution 1201, Citizens United Response.
Rules, Counter, Operations of the House.
Representative Bryant, Bradley, and Ray, House Bill 1202, Roanoke Rapids, the annexation, Halifax, Northampton Airport.
Government and Favorable Finance.
Representative E. Warren and Tolson, House Bill 1203, modified Martin County occupancy tax.
Finance.
Representative Horn, McGirt, and Burr, House Bill 1204, Union County construction methods.
Government.
Representative Crawford, House Bill 1205, amend trespass, Granville County.
Government.
Representative Crawford, House Bill 1206, button a boundary clarification.
Government.
Representative Crawford Wilkins, House Bill 1207, Granville person local stormwater fees.
Government and favorable finance.
Representative Jones and Holloway, House Bill 1208, Rockingham landfill fee use.
Government.
Representative Jones and Holloway, House Bill 1209, Rockingham landfill fund balance.
Government.
Representative Spear, House Bill 1210, Hyde County fox trapping.
Government.
Representative Burr, Holloway, and Dockham, House Bill 1211, local governments and state health plan.
State personnel.
Representative Hackney, House Bill 1212, Chatham local government information, minors.
Government.
Representative Insco, Hall, Lukey, and Mashaw, House Bill 1213, state health plan and school.
Education and favorable state personnel.
Representative Stone, House Bill 1214, Sanford convey property.
Government.
Representative McGrady, House Bill 1215, Henderson County occupancy tax changes.
Finance.
Representative Dixon, House Bill 1216, Town of Wally satellite annexation.
Government and favorable finance.
Representative Fisher, Moffitt, and Heber, House Bill 1217, Asheville Whitbend boundary adjustments.
Government.
Representative England, Cleveland, McCormick, House Bill. That's the end.
I was going to roll with it.
Representatives Current, Dollar, Hollow are recognized to send forth committee report. The clerk will read.
Representative Current, Dollar, and Hollow chairs the Committee on Health and Human Services, House Bill 981, a bill to entitle an act to prohibit any commercial state-owned real property encompassing Dorothy Dixon campus without the approval of the General Assembly, is recommended by the Joint Legislative Oversight Committee on Health and Human Services. Favorable report is to commit substitute bill, which changes title and faithfulness to the original bill.
Committee substitute bill calendar, original bill, and favorable calendar. Representative Samuelson, McElrath, and West are recognized to send forth committee report. The clerk will read.
Representative Samuelson McElrath West chairs the Committee on Environment, House Bill 954, Bill to entitle an act to amend or repeal various environmental natural resource report requirements as recommended by the Environmental Review Commission. Favor report as the committee substitute bill, unfavorable as to the original bill.
Committee substitute bill calendar, original bill, unfavorable calendar. Representative Samuelson McElrath West to recognize and send forth committee report. The clerk will read.
Committee Substitute Number 2 for Senate Bill 405, a bill of entitled an act amending laws regulating irrigation contracts to provide substantive requirements licenses required for insurance licenses or non-residents requiring fee structure and to make other conforming changes. Favor reports House Committee Substitute Bill and favor loses Senate Committee Substitute Bill 2 and recommendation the House Committee Substitute Bill be referred to the Committee on Finance.
House Committee Substitute Bill will be referred to the Committee on Finance. Committee Substitute Bill number 2, unfavorable calendar. Representatives Engel and Brown, Larry Brown, to represent, recognize the send forth committee report. The clerk will read.
Representative Engel and L. Brown, chairs the Committee on Government, House Bill 956, bill to entitle an act relating to the use of open space fronts for Johnson County. Favorable report is the committee substitute bill, unfavorable is to the original bill.
Pursuant to Rule 38B, the committee substitute bill will be referred to finance, original bill, unfavorable calendar. Representatives Brawley McGee are recognized and forth committee report. The clerk will read.
Representative Brawley McGee chairs the Committee on Banking, House Bill 960, bill to entitle an act to ensure payments of just compensation to property owners, mortgage debt, consideration of outstanding mortgage as recommended by the House Select Committee on State Owned Assets. Favorable report.
Calendar.
She goes by these for the committee.